All right, hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. As you can see, I am currently in Nashville as expected, so made it just fine. Not my normal setup here. I'm going live right now on my phone. I do have a microphone there, but I'm not entirely sure that it is working. So let me know if you guys can hear me okay before we continue. I am hiding my hair as usual, as best I can at least. So I'm just gonna give it a second here. So we can see if this is working okay. Sounds like it's working okay. So unfortunately, I don't have anything connected to my laptop. I do have my laptop here that I'm gonna go through my notes and just some of the news on. For those of you that are audio listeners, I do apologize. I'm sure the audio quality here is not gonna be quite up to par, but we'll do our best to get through this, and I appreciate you guys having some flexibility with me this week. So let's get into it. Tesla today, pretty strong day, finishing up 2%, even though the NASDAQ was only up about a third of a percent. Tesla closing at $722.25. That compared, obviously, to the NASDAQ, up about a third. you can see my habits right there from recording. But one thing that I did think was interesting to just point out, we've been talking a little bit about volume over the last few days, or the last couple weeks, I guess. And yesterday, we didn't talk about it because I recorded a little bit before market close, but yesterday was the lowest volume day in a couple of years, about 9.7 million shares traded, so super, super low volume yesterday. Today that did spike back up, so the largest volume we've seen in a couple of weeks today. So some people have asked why I talk about the volume, and it's really just to get a sense of how much interest there is in the stock at that point in time. I think when there's low volume, it's just kind of, you know, a little bit in the doldrums. I think the rest of my friends are coming back right now. So we might have a bit of an interruption here. Sorry. Sorry, guys. Just give me one second. We're doing it live. This is what happens. Hey, guys.
Good.
Hey, guys.
You're good. I'll
keep you outside. Okay, thanks, Colin. All right, so we're going to keep going. My friend's going to help out and keep them at bay for a second. Okay, so also on the stock, a couple of things here. We have a price target increase from UBS, so they've upped their price target to $725, up from $660. So I'm sure that helped the stock a little bit today. And then the other thing, which is also in the title of the episode today, is we did have a short seller that has, to some extent, capitulated. So this is Muddy Water short seller Carson Block, who actually hadn't really heard a ton about in the past, but apparently has been somewhat vocal in terms of his short on Tesla, and has now decided that that is no longer something that he wants to go forward with. So let me find the quote here. This is from a New York Times article about Carson Block. So the quote here reads, quote, Tesla shorts have focused on Tesla's lack of scale to compete in EVs with GM, Ford, Volkswagen, etc. They are correct in that lack of scale would have been the death of Tesla, but they were looking at the wrong scale. Tesla is here not because it has scale in terms of manufacturing base or unit sales. It has scale because of its capital base. So that's the end of the quote. He's basically saying that the only reason Tesla's been successful is because of the market cap and because they've had the capability of raising as much capital as they need. So, sorry. All right, I think we're okay for a second. So anyway, basically he's saying that, you know, Tesla would have been a viable short, but the market cap allowed them to raise funding and be successful despite the business not actually having, you know, the capability of doing that. So I think one of the things there, it's almost like an excuse of saying, you know, I was right about this, but you're still ending up being wrong. It's basically just a way to get out of Tesla without actually admitting, you know, defeat. It's kind of funny. Let me just see here. I thought that quote was particularly funny because over the last, I don't know, 6 to 9 months or so, we've been seeing Tesla actually pay off debt, which is essentially the opposite of what the point here is making, because he's saying that Tesla's only really successful because of the market cap, because they can raise money, but paying off debt is the exact opposite of raising money. So it really doesn't make a lot of sense, but, you know, I guess shorting Tesla didn't make a lot of sense either, so thought that was pretty interesting to come across today. Obviously, it has no bearing on, you know, what I think about Tesla, but seemed like a classic excuse for being wrong to me. All right, next up here, and I apologize that you guys can't see this on screen. I guess I can maybe like hold my laptop up, but there is this Cybertruck patent that was published today, or I guess not Cybertruck patent, but a Tesla glass patent for basically the bending of planar glass. So very linear glass. Obviously, there's curvature in automotive glass. But in this case, this patent is about basically doing what they can to get these sort of... I do apologize for this, the quality of this live stream, but basically you can kind of see on that patent there how they're bending angular glass here, which could obviously apply to the very angular look of the Cybertruck, and they do mention that in the patent. So I thought that was interesting. What we might end up seeing then with the Cybertruck is kind of like that Model X type of windshield where it really went back above the driver and the passenger in terms of their head. So basically an entire open field of view there. So it would be pretty cool if the Cybertruck was able to do that with a more angular piece of glass there. So hopefully we'll see that come to fruition with the final design of the Cybertruck. Obviously I wouldn't count on that, but yes, that'd be cool. All right, so next one here, this is super interesting. This is from Ray for Tesla, noting on Twitter today that Tesla has hired as their someone in their media team, essentially, the editor-in-chief for, I'm going to butcher it, but Dongche Di, which is apparently China's version of Motor Trend, Ray for Tesla says. So it looks like Tesla is making a significant step up in terms of their media relations there in China, which is a continuation of the hiring that we've seen. I noted a few weeks back that there were a number of different job postings for Tesla China in terms of communications roles. So we're continuing to see Tesla step that up and here with a really significant hire, the editor-in-chief of Dongche Di. So I thought that move was pretty interesting. I'm glad that Tesla is taking that step up to do those things, to try to build that narrative a little bit back from the hit that it seemed to have taken here in the first half of the year. Next year, so demand, another thing that I noted in the title today, I'm sure many of you have seen this by now, but the Standard Range Plus delivery estimated dates have moved out to January. So the cheapest Model 3 now sold out for the entirety of the rest of the year, which, you know, almost a 6 month wait period there for the cheapest version of the Model 3. And the first thing I thought of when I saw this is it reminded me of the conversations that we've been having about Tesla advertising. And I've actually, you know, pointed out some of the merits of doing that. It could potentially have a positive ROI, but clearly Tesla doing just fine without advertising here in the US, at least, North America. I think, again, Chinese situation is a little bit different, but it also kind of highlights that demand pocket concept that we've talked about. Demand isn't the stagnant concept of like there's one level of it. It varies in different regions. So anyway, in the United States and North America, it's doing super well. Demand for the estimated delivery time for the long-range Model 3 is out to November. Performance is 4 to 7 weeks. So unsurprisingly, Tesla seems to be prioritizing those more expensive vehicles, which is going to be really great for margins for Q3 and potentially for Q4 as well. For the Model Y, estimated wait times are out to December. So I'm sure, you know, in a few weeks here, we'll probably see that move out to January as well. So that's most of the Tesla-specific stuff. There was one other article here that I wanted to point out. This is from California. So California has extended, essentially, or is in the process of extending, a mandate to have solar on new buildings. So in this case, it's commercial buildings, including hotels, offices, medical offices, clinics, retail and grocery stores, restaurant, schools, and civic spaces like theaters, auditoriums, and convention centers. So this is a pretty big expansion of what previously was single-family homes and multifamily homes up to 3 stories. So I'm happy to see that. And sorry, if I didn't say what they were mandating, it's to have solar panel installed on new building projects like that. So happy to see that. It is not final yet. It does need to go on to a separate committee now. This was voted on by the Energy, California Energy Commission. Now it goes on to the Building Standards Commission. But apparently, the Building Standards Commission has never not accepted something that's been passed by the Energy Commission. So it should be in, you know, in a fine spot. And it looks like that'll take place in, the mandate will start in January of 2023. So a couple years. Last couple of things here, and then my friends are just trying to get back in into the house. But I told you guys, bachelor party, this is what's going on. I'm just trying to get through this episode, but a couple other things here. So my dad had previously ordered Starlink, and we've been waiting on it for quite some time now. He got the email today that the Starlink order is ready, so I just wanted to share that with you guys that we will soon be Starlink customers, and I look forward to just reporting back on our experience with that. And then today is Thursday, August 12th, so we are now 1 week away from AI Day, which I'm super looking forward to for next week. So I just wanted to give everyone a nice reminder of that, especially because I will be off tomorrow, as I mentioned. So I do see a few super chats here just on top. Let me just like reach towards my phone here. John, thanks, saying I don't need to apologize. John, also thank you. Oh, you guys are just so nice. So we've got a question here from, I cannot pronounce that, I'm sorry. I know I've seen you on here before. Do you think FSD data could be provided to a video game company to create real life maps and architecture? Yeah, I think that's, I don't see why not. I don't know if they would need that level of precision for what they're doing. I don't know. I think they could maybe get a lot of that from just satellite imagery, but certainly, yeah, could be an option. Yeah, I don't see why not. So with that, guys, I'm going to wrap it up. I really do appreciate the patience with everything here. Again, I will be taking tomorrow off. We've got activities going all day, so I won't be able to follow the news, but thanks again for bearing with me and appreciate you guys. And I'll see you on Monday for the, what's it going to be, the 16th episode of Tesla Daily. Let me figure out how I can end the live stream now. But thank you, guys.